drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
To the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000. You can also listen to us on 100.3 HD2. Take us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. Alongside Mike Gilligan, I'm Tyler Rocky. We talk golf with you every single Saturday here on ESPN 1000 from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mike is out at Ziegfeld Troy, taking place in the CDGA Foundation Golf Marathon. Mike, how are you doing today on the road?
Good morning, Tyler. Good morning, Chicagoland. This is what we have been waiting for, this weather, and no better day to do it on a day where we're trying to do great things for our foundation and raise some money. We've got a cadre of people out here playing 100 holes here at Ziegfeld Troy, and a big shout-out and a thank you to Dennis and Tim Troy for being the most amazing hosts. This is our 15th year. We've raised over $1 million in this 15 years of doing this, and today we're already over 83,000 on a goal of 90,000. Wow. So, yeah, there's still time to donate. If you go to cdga.org, we've got a button. Click here right at the top of the homepage, and you can give a little. Every little bit helps. All the funding goes towards supporting our outreach programs at the CDGA, which utilize golf to enhance the lives of individuals with special needs, veterans, and youth. So we're in for a fantastic day.
So Mike is gearing up to play 100, you heard that right, 100 holes of golf today. So I'm assuming the second the red light comes off here, you are starting an intensive stretching program.
That's about right. That's exactly right. But with the beauty of what's going on here today, as another sidebar, the event within the event, is all the people here have reached their fundraising goals. And so as a minimum of $2,500 a player, they all will get a chance to take one swing just to my left on the third hole here at Ziegfeld Troy for a chance to win $1 million, a split the pot, and a huge shout-out and a thank you to Republic Bank for giving us this opportunity. We have 20 chances to try to make $1 million here today.
So what's hole number three playing like today, Mike?
It is playing 155, just okay. A very gentle breeze left to right, and the hole is cut exactly in the middle of the green. There's nothing tricky or nothing about it. We want to see an ace today, and a lot of great things would happen.
All right, so looking forward to that. And how long does it usually take you to get through those 100? Because you've done this how many years now?
Well, this will be my sixth year doing it.
Wow.
It takes a good 4 hours if you literally, you know, if you're by yourself and you, you know, stay.
Because it's just get it and go, right?
Yeah, there is no etiquette.
Like ready golf
out here
on
today.
Steroids.
Yeah, every person has their own golf cart. So balls are flying, and you play different color balls so you don't have to bend over and say, do you have a Titleist or whatever? It's just, I've got the yellow balls, you've got the orange ones, and let's go. And it's all about speed. Etiquette goes out the window. We leave etiquette at in the parking lot on this round.
Love it. You know, it's funny because Bleck and Abdallah are the resident 36-hole guys here on the station. Every Saturday, they go out and try to play 36. I know it's changed a little bit with Abdallah having a baby as of late, but 100 holes, that's pretty crazy stuff. Sounds like a ton of fun out there at Ziegfeld Troy. And, of course, if you want to donate, go to cdga.org. So plenty of great causes that this all goes to help out as well. So not only is it a lot of fun to play 100 holes, but it's also going towards a great cause as well. Busy, busy golf weekend because we have our second major of the year, the PGA Championship, underway at Oak Hill. Yesterday was cutting day. Here's one thing that, first of all, I'm happy we got our cuts yesterday because if it were like round one, we would have still had a little bit of a holdup due to darkness that suspended the play of round one. That's one of the things I noticed, actually, when I saw the tee sheets at first, is some guys going out for a 4:30 tee time to try to race against the sun and race against the daylight, but they made it work in round number two. Your leaders right now, a three-way tie atop the board, Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connors, and Victor Hovland. And then in a tie for fourth right now, you've got a pair in Justin Suh, as well as Bryson DeChambeau. He is the lone LIV representative out of the top five. Then you go down a little bit further. You find another LIV guy in Brooks Koepka, who's done really well in these majors. Callum Tarran at 2-under as well. Those two in a tie for sixth. Taylor Pendrith and Justin Rose each in a tie for eight. And then a giant log jam in a tie for 10th right now, including Rory McIlroy bouncing back after missing the cut at the Masters and after really struggling out of the gates in round one. But he kicked it into gear, finished up nicely. He goes 1 over, 1 under to sit at even par and is currently tied for 10th along with Shane Lowry, Keegan Bradley, and others.
Yeah, I mean, we saw some amazing movements and some amazing things in day one. For example, John Rahm, you know, one of the biggest movers on day two, after he shoots a 76, 6 over. That's probably one of the highest rounds he's had in a major in quite some time.
I saw it was the highest round by a Masters champion in an opening round of a major that year.
Well, yesterday, though, he came to play.
Yes, he did.
And he moved up 66 spots. So he got himself right back into this thing because Oak Hill is the type of golf course that if you're playing well, you can score, but you get that thing just a little offline and you're going to have a difficult, difficult day. So this leaderboard is far from being finalized by any stretch of the imagination. I look to almost anyone that's even at plus one still having a good out chance of you know, making some noise come Sunday afternoon on the back nine.
No doubt about that. Yeah, like John Rahm, not going to win the PGA Championship. Very tough to do at 4 over after two rounds and in a tie for 48th right now. But just the charge that he's making, I mean, you told me right now he could go top 20, top 15. I wouldn't rule that out of the question with the golf he played yesterday and just the way that he really finished his round. I mean, he was fantastic yesterday. And it really showed you why he is the – he set the record this year for the most earnings in a year. And it's – I mean, it's middle of May at this point, and I get that there's different purses in the tournaments this year because of the competitive nature with LIV Golf. But I just look at what we saw out of Rahm yesterday, super, super impressive. Couple other notable names among the leaderboard here. You've got Colin Morikawa currently 1 over in a tie for 19th, as is Patrick Cantlay and Dustin Johnson. Cam Smith, another guy who really struggled early on, but kind of found himself a little bit towards the ends of some of his rounds. He ends up finishing at 4 over. He's in that crop along with Rahm, tied for 48th right now. Phil Mickelson made the cut as well. So that is back-to-back made cuts for Phil Mickelson, despite the fact that he has had some of his struggles over on LIV Golf. And then Justin Thomas also making the cut as well. He is at 5 over. So a couple of notable names. And then a couple of notable names, too, that did not end up making it. No Ricky Fowler. He struggled on the day, and there were – it was kind of interesting to see some of the guys that did and didn't make – like Jason Day, another name. He was playing some really strong golf coming in. He didn't make the cut. Cameron Young's a guy that both you and I really liked heading into this tournament. He didn't make the cut. Taylor Gooch was the talk of the town on LIV Golf. I mean, he was winning tournaments out there in dominant fashion. He doesn't make the cut. He goes 10 over, so – also, some surprising names that we're seeing sitting out these final two rounds as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, another guy that has made a nice move yesterday was Patrick Cantlay.
Now, yes, he did.
Obviously, he's the pick I have. It's been well documented, but I also know
I tailed you on it, too.
Yeah, and he, you know, he came back nicely, makes three birdies in the first five holes to card a 3 under 67 to move up 54 spots to sit at one or plus one overall. So he has a chance. He's got a good chance. But the LIV players, it, you know, 11 guys made the cut out of the 16. Mm-hmm. And they're making noise, and that is a total surprise to me. But, again, they still have a difficult day ahead of them today. The weather is going to be, oh, that beautiful upstate western New York weather. It's going to show a little bit of everything. And, unfortunately, today I think it's going to be the news of the day. But tomorrow, if everything goes right, they should have a glorious finish. And I honestly couldn't be happier for the members at Oak Hill and for the community at Rochester. They have just done a wonderful, wonderful job hosting this event. It's like a Super Bowl has come to their town, and I would expect nothing else from all those Rochesterians.
Yes, and you look at the way that the course is just shown on TV. It's something about it. It just sort of pops on TV. It looks fantastic. That rough does not look a lot of fun to be in. You can see how tight the fairways are as well. They have done a great job getting that course in prime competition condition.
Well, and you know, one thing, I was talking with some of my friends up in Rochester, and they informed me that they took the golf carts away from them back in October.
Wow.
And this year, no member has played the East Course. There isn't one divot until the practice rounds. No ball marks. That place is as pristine condition as a golf course can be, probably next to Augusta when you head into a major. But, you know, interesting when you start looking at interesting trends or the whatnot. When Sean McKeel won there in 2003, his world ranking was 169. And after 36 holes, he was three shots behind the leaders. Well, Callum Tarran from England is ranked 169. And he's three shots behind the leader. So, who knows? 20 years later, magic could happen.
Yep. Lots of great. And you brought up the LIV stuff, too. I think the way that the leaderboard is set up right now, you mentioned 11 of 16 guys already have made the cut. But the way the leaderboard's sort of set up right now, you've got Bryson, you've got Brooks hovering around that lead. Man, wouldn't it be something if you got Bryson in a final round with Scottie Scheffler, if you got Brooks in a final round with Scottie Scheffler or Victor Hovland, something of that nature? I mean, that would be a lot of fun to watch because we saw how it paid dividends at the Masters. You saw those ratings. I think you'd get something not similar because the Masters is the Masters, but I think you'd get something that the television folks would be very happy with.
Oh, it would be must-see TV. And I'll tell you who the number one fan to watch that very episode or that example you just mentioned would be Captain Zach Johnson. These guys, he has got to be giving Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, and even Bryson, he's got to be considering them. And if they get into a situation on Sunday, it's going to be basically like match play. So how can you turn your head to that if you're the captain? And what I'm starting to see, too, is these guys are still friends. I would not be surprised if they pick at least one and maybe two LIV players on that Ryder Cup team. It would not surprise me in the least.
By the way, this segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. If you've got a thought on the PGA Championships, we would love to hear from you. You got a pick. You like what you see. You don't like what you've seen so far from the tournament. 312-332-3776. Bill's in Grays Lake. What's up, Bill?
Guys, best golf show in the country by far. Thank you for doing it. It's great.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
So today's matchup with Brooks and Bryson should be interesting to watch. That's something I'll be watching. But what separates the PGA Championship for me is the fact that they bring in 20 PGA of America members to this tournament to play in. And look at the leaderboard right now. The guy from California, I'm sorry, I forgot his name. I'm driving, but he's at the top of the leaderboard. We got a guy like French from Aldine Golf Course, a public muni course, who qualifies from Rockford, Illinois. And it's just, you know, one day he's giving lessons to a bunch of kids, the next day he's at the PGA Championship. It's incredible to watch. It's a great it's what separates this major from the rest. And, you know, those LIV guys, to your guys' point, they're still elite golfers. It's no surprise they're at the top of the leaderboard, and it's going to be exciting to watch the next 2 days, and especially today with the weather, it's going to be great. But guys, great show. love listening, and I can't wait to hear what your response is.
Appreciate it, Mike. Bill, yeah, the name you're thinking of there, the of the pro, that's Michael Block, currently in a tie for 10th right now after going even. How about that for a PGA professional? Even. He's in a tie for 10th right now on the leaderboard. So it's I mean, you think about it. He's in a tie right now with Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry. Not too bad for a club pro.
This guy's living the dream. I mean, he's got to take a picture of that leaderboard, frame it, and put it up in his office right now after 36 holes, because who knows what's going to happen today. But Michael Block actually had it 3 under par. He was one shot out of the lead at one point on Friday. So this guy's got the right attitude. He and his caddy are having the most enjoyable, you know, walk in a park. And that's literally what he is doing out there, because there's no expectations. There's no pressure on him. The pressure is on all the world's greatest, and he's just having the time of his life up in Rochester. And as our caller mentioned, you know, it's so great to see, because this is the PGA of America's championship. Every single club pro in this country has to have their chest out proud today, because they are putting on one heck of a show today.
312-332-3776. You want to join us? We'll take some of your calls. And one of the most shocking revelations of the PGA championship so far. We'll tell you what that was coming up next. This is the CDGA Golf Show. This segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of a legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Mike, I saw your bag of Tour Edge clubs sitting out at Ziegfeld Troy, where you are right now, broadcasting live from the CDGA Golf Marathon. Mike's going to be golfing 100 holes today. How about that? All to raise money for a great cause, the CDGA Foundation. You're working towards that goal of 90,000, and you said you are at 83,000 right now. So go to cdga.org to donate, and any quantity is appreciated there. 312-332-3776. You want to talk PGA Championship with us here on ESPN 1000. We've been talking a lot about the leaderboard and maybe some of the surprises that we've seen, but I think one of the more shocking names that we've seen atop the leaderboard right now is Bryson DeChambeau. Mike, I don't know how you felt about Bryson coming into this tournament, but quite frankly, I thought we had seen the last of the good golf out of Bryson DeChambeau, but he looks like a totally different person out there, and I'm not just talking his golf game, but his physical shape as well. He looks totally different out there on the course.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, every time I look at him, I think of the David Bowie song, Changes.
I didn't recognize him.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of looks like he did when he came to Olympia Fields and won the U.S. Amateur, in a way. He has become very, very skinny. I think he lost about 18 pounds in 24 days. He claims it's a lot of water weight, but he looks fantastic. And he's still hitting the ball a long, long way. But most importantly, he's hitting it straight.
Yes.
But even if he doesn't, he's going to do the old bomb and gouge it down out there. And, you know, you want to get it as far down there as you can and then see if you get lucky with a lie and just gouge the heck out of the thing and try to advance it onto the green or in and around it.
And that's the surprising thing to me, is with a 3-under score right now, like you brought up the just let it fly mentality. I didn't think that was going to work here at Oak Hill. And the fact that he's sort of changed his game a little bit and has tailored it more towards the course has been pretty impressive to me.
Well, you know, in fact, when he won at Wingfoot, that's exactly what he did. And there's been a lot of comparisons to Wingfoot this week with Oak Hill's East course. So I think he's using some of the same mentality that he had when he won the U.S. Open there. The rough is very, very difficult. There is no question. But the further you get it down there, the more loft you can put on a club to advance it, and you have a chance. But if you're missing it short and left, short and right, you're going to have a much flatter iron in your hand, and you are not advancing it anywhere. You're just trying to get it back into play. But Bryson is still a very, very strong guy. You know, and that's what he's going to work. You know, that's what he's going to rely on this week. Although he did say in the press conference last night he drove it considerably straight. It even surprised himself. But he even said, tomorrow's another day, anything could happen. But I like the way he looks, and I like the way he's thinking. I think he's taking care of his body for the long term. Because I think what he did, I think, was putting a lot of wear and tear on him when he bulked up the way that he did. And then he went off for that long drive, you know, competition.
That's right,
and I think that's where, you know, some of those injuries happened. I mean, as much as you can bulk up, our tendons and are still our tendons and muscles are still our muscles, but it's not made for the rigorous torque that he's putting on his body on a regular basis like that. So it's good to see him return back to quasi-normal, if you will, but still his game is so far above normal. But it's fun to watch.
Goes 4 under on day one, 1 over on day two, and that all shapes up to a three under right now, tied for fourth on the leaderboard alongside Justin Su. This was Bryson talking about that weight loss. You mentioned the down 18 pounds in 24 days. Here's how he went about it.
Well, you know, a lot of diet changes and eating a lot, going from, you know, 5,000 calories down to, what am I, 2,900 now or something like that with Carrie. She's my chef. She helps me out with all that. But, you know, eating properly, instead of eating stuff that inflames my body, I took a Zoomer peptide test, which essentially tells you what inflames your blood when you eat it. So, like, I was allergic to corn, wheat, gluten, dairy, pretty much everything I liked, I couldn't eat, right? So I took that out. I started taking that out in August, and over the course of time, I've just lost all this inflammation, lost a lot of fat, and just slimmed down like crazy. I lost 18 pounds in 24 days. It was crazy. It wasn't fat. It was just all water weight. It was a lot of water weight. It's a little, you know how I looked before. I was not skinny. So a lot of changes in that regard. Obviously, having the hand injury was no fun. And then learning to play golf again with a new hand. It's been a while. So nice to come back and start to finally figure out what's going on with my golf swing. As I've told you guys before, I've struggled with my driving. You see me out there on the range, and something I don't want to do. I don't want to be out there all night, but I've had to try and figure out what I did so well in 2018 and what made me so successful then. Feel like I'm catching on and trending that direction. Figured out a couple things this week, and it's certainly paid off today.
Couple of things there. First of all, that sounds torturous, having to take that test and realize you can't eat all those different things, because that's pretty much about everything on the planet right there. And second off there, you know, it makes me think about Bryce and the whole conversation surrounding LIV Golf, and it was, oh, are these guys, they're just going to stop practicing, right? But I think with a guy like Bryson, you're seeing that's not true. Even though they are making way more money to play way less golf, he's certainly working on his game, and LIV Golf may end up saving Bryson's career.
Oh, I agree. I agree. But first and foremost, did you even know what a Zoomer peptide test was?
I had no idea.
I mean, mine would come back, stop eating McDonald's, stop going to Jersey Mike's, stop, you know. But,
so don't take it. If you don't take it, then you don't know.
That's exactly right. But Bryson, yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, I think what we're seeing with these LIV players, they've got a chip on their shoulder. They've got a lot to prove. And if they are going to make this league be successful, they need to be successful. So while we went in there and thought, oh, these guys are just going to lay back, stop practicing, I think with all that has gone on has really heightened the awareness of the LIV players to say, when we have that chance, we've got to show that we still have game.
I think, yeah, this really is one of the most fascinating collision courses in sports that we've seen when you look at LIV versus the PGA Tour and how they're now given these events where they get to mesh, right? And you look at the leaderboard of LIV guys, your top three LIV guys are three of the top names that you expected when you signed up for this thing, when you saw these guys go over. Bryson, Brooks, and DJ. Those are the top three live guys currently in the PGA Championship. You've got Bryson in a tie for fourth. You got Brooks in a tie for sixth. And then you've got DJ in a tie for 19th with a pair of other live guys, Mito Pereira and Harold Varner, the third as well. Like, this is what they signed up for, and they're showing out on the biggest stages right here. And you brought up the stat earlier in the show, 11 of the 16 guys that are playing in the PGA Championship made the cut. So these guys are showing up, and they're playing some really good golf right now. And the funny part is the guy who is sort of dominating the last month and a half of LIV Golf, he's one of the guys that got cut in Taylor Gooch.
Well, that just goes to show you, again, what Oak Hill can do to a player that hasn't had a lot of big-time, old country club, you know, historic venue experience. But The guys that are at the top have. I mean, Mito should have won this event last year if he'd have just hit 7 right. iron off the first or the 18th hole to win. But yesterday, you know, they had 99 of the top 100 players play. And get this, 63 bogeys were made, 26 doubles, and 6 others. So that's where Taylor Gooch was kind of helping put those stats on the board. But to your point, LIV is, you know, just showing well so far. But it is a 72-hole event, and we're going to see what happens come Sunday. If today is a day of let's just survive to get to Sunday, and then it's going to be an absolute horse race.
It was funny because in the Masters, we saw Brooks struggle in holes 55 through 72. But we saw a lot of the other guys, like Phil, like Patrick Reed, they really thrived in that fourth round. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, are these guys going to be able to return to the rigors of a four-round tournament? And to me, I say absolutely yes, because their bodies are so well-rested as a result of not playing as many events as some of these PGA Tour guys.
I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, that's exactly what I was going to say. They are benefiting from, I think, their schedule. And I think that's going to be the undertone to a lot of this. It's almost as if they're saying, see, we told you so. The way that their schedule lays itself out is perfect for these guys getting ready for these majors. And I have to tell you, anyone that I've run into, whether it's at the golf course yesterday, in the community, anywhere, when we talk about this golf and the majors and LIV and the PGA, everybody loves the fact that they're all coming together at least 4 times a year. And that could be the best thing that has happened to golf, at least from the majors' perspective.
312-332-3776 if you want to jump on into the conversation here. Have you liked watching the clash of LIV versus PGA at a lot of these majors? 312-332-3776. An hour from now, we will talk with our friend James Colgan from golf.com. He's out at Oak Hill. He'll join the program. Looking forward to that conversation there. He was the one that was asking Bryson about all of the weight loss stuff, and he's done an excellent job at tracking and covering everything Bryson DeChambeau in this tournament. So we'll talk to James Colgan an hour from now right here on the CDGA Golf Show. We'll take some of your calls and go through some more of what's taking place out at Oak Hill, including could we be in store for some delays today? We'll talk about all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. You're listening to the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Not sure if you had a chance to see it, but he was the winner last week in Tulsa in a playoff over Cam Smith.
Oh, Jim Nantz always taking his LIV pot shots right there. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro golf bag. That was Jim Nantz on the broadcast as Dustin Johnson stepped to the tee, because in case you missed it, last week at the LIV event, the LIV TV coverage, the CW cut away from the live event as it was going to a playoff. And so this is just kind of, you see now that this is a paid programming by Liv. There isn't really some TV deal in place per se, but they cut away from it. And it was interesting to see that people were scrambling. People, instead of getting the playoff of the Liv Golf event taking place in Tulsa, they got the Goldbergs instead, a rerun of the Goldbergs. So that was a funny little moment there. And Jim Nance, of course, poking some fun at it, as he is known to do with the Liv players. But it's one of those things. You look at how DJ's played. You look at how some of these guys have played. They know that they have the target on their backs, but they are delivering no matter what. And it really goes to show just the TV ratings, I think, are going to be spectacular come Sunday, even though Liv has stopped tracking ratings and stopped producing ratings, because I don't think they're very good right now with the way that the lack of viewership has sort of played out with their main events. But once they get to the majors, they know how to stir the pot and they know how to get eyeballs.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, they just came out. The CW is never going to make that mistake again, number one. And if they're going to be a sports broadcasting entity, they got to act like one.
Right.
And, you know, I think one of the markets that CW was in went to an infomercial, for crying out loud.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. But I happened to be watching myself, and I was scrambling to get to the app to watch the playoff because it was some really good golf. And it was just fun to watch the, you know, anytime you see three guys going into a playoff, you want to watch it.
And that's the thing, too, is the CW, you talk about acting like a sports broadcasting entity there. They're in the market to try to get some Pac-12 contracts. I think they're also talking a little bit with the Big 12 as well. Like, they are actively trying to secure sports rights. And if this is how you're going to treat it, and if this is, I guess it's fine if this is the guinea pig test run for you here, but I don't think the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and all those conferences that may be looking at the CW as a television partner moving forward, they can't be happy with how things transpired last week with the Liv event.
No, and, you know, again, I think it may be a bit of a difference. I think there could be a rights revenue in that collegiate deal that would forbid CW to ever go away from the game at hand, so to speak. But in this particular case, because of the way Liv and the CW have created this arrangement, I think I'm not sure they really knew what to do. And I think what they did is they defaulted to, well, we have to put our own programming on the air now.
Right.
And what all you're doing is just going to a bunch of reruns of different shows. So, you know, it's a learning curve, I think, for them. And I think, you know, if you're not winning, you're learning. And that's what they're doing. I think CW will be better for it. But, you know, if this continues with this PGA Championship, it's going to get the intrigue of many, many more eyeballs to check it out, to see, you know, what these guys are doing, where they're playing, and, you know, find out, is this team concept really worth the price of admission? And, you know, it's just the nature of growing pains, in my opinion.
By the way, Mike out at Ziegfeld Troy today for the CDGA Golf Marathon. They're going for 90,000. Do you have a progress update on that number right now?
We're closing in on 84,000, so people Beautiful. Have been calling in. That is outstanding, cdga.org. Any contribution will go to support the outreach programs that specifically help the lives of individuals with special needs, veterans, and our youth. This year, the CDGA Foundation will sponsor 90 Sunshine Through golf camps and 65 golf clinics for military veterans, and all of it is complimentary. That is what our foundation does. So when you are giving money, the money is directly going to these initiatives. So, you know, we feel that golf for almost 80 years has been a very therapeutic piece of the equation in solving some of the PTSD that the soldiers from World War II came back with. But now we're starting to see how golf can help with mental illness, even down to our youth. So golf is playing a very important therapeutic role in our community. So we're here to try to raise some money to have a wonderful, wonderful season in 2023. So CDGA.org, you'll feel better about donating, so feel free. And we're hoping to hit 90,000 by lunchtime.
And Mike will be playing 100, yes, that's right, 100 holes of golf today as a part of the golf marathon here. I do want to give a, I've been having, even though I haven't been doing well, I have been thoroughly enjoying the CDGA Fantasy Golf. Right now I am in like 3,100th place out of 3,700 people. You, Mike, are in like 1791 right now. Out of the 3,700. So you are way outperforming me. I believe you will be the victor of the Jersey Mike subs once this time around.
I wouldn't be too sure yet. I'm at plus 34. You're at plus 41. Yesterday, you and I both moved up the leaderboards. I moved up 1,752 places. You moved up 732 places. And this thing's not over yet, Tyler. It's just not over.
A lot of golf left to be played. But now this is when the competition gets really interesting, too, because of the fact that you've got the cuts.
Right.
And it all kind of depends. I had 7 guys cut. You had 6 guys cut. But for the next major, so for the next time when the U.S. Open comes around in about a month from now, you want to be a CDGA member so you can get in on the fantasy golf competition, because it's a lot of fun to track. Everything's done in real time here. And you can also see how many people have each golfer as well. Like, one of the guys currently atop the leaderboard right now is Corey Connors. In a pool of 3,700 people, only 150 people have Corey Connors rostered right now. So if you have Corey Connors, you're probably doing pretty well right now on that leaderboard. But it's been a lot of fun to track and watch. It is a lot of fun when we get to these major times right around now, and this certainly is one of those ones. Real quickly, the weather for today out at in Rochester at Oak Hill, I'm imagining, I do see some umbrellas out right now on the live coverage that they've got on ESPN, but through the next couple of hours, we are expecting rain. It doesn't look like it'll be anything severe enough to bring guys off the course, but there will be a steady rain throughout the day, and I think every single group out there is going to be impacted by it.
No doubt. And the forecast that I had heard was steady rain, which is fine as long as it doesn't, you know, downpour. But the real issue is the wind. You know, these guys, if the wind is rolling and it's raining, then not only is it miserable, but it is difficult and miserable. They're well-schooled. They've played in the rain. Rain is not the issue. It's the wind. But if we get a combination of the two, oof, I'm going to be glad I'm sitting inside watching it.
Yeah, we could get some high scores today, which could be interesting to watch. And one of the things, too, is I thought about some of the guys who maybe are conditioned for some of these type of weather challenges. I always look at, I feel like Justin Rose is one of those guys who does pretty well, and he has done pretty well so far, and he battled some of the elements there on day one. But he was always one of those guys who, when the weather got a little tough, it feels like Justin Rose is one of those guys whose game, he tailors it well to some of the weather conditions.
No doubt. I think anytime we start looking at poor weather, then we look at the leaderboard. We want to look at, you know, where are the Europeans on there?
Right.
And the one that stands out to me is Shane Lowry.
Yep, he's another one.
Yeah, he played well yesterday. He could be waking up kind of grinning in a funny Irish way, thinking I've got a little bit of an advantage now over the rest of these guys based on where I'm from. So
Rory's,
I look for
up
him
there too.
Oh, and Rory's right there too. So, you know, I look for those guys, to the three we just mentioned, to actually move up, not down.
Yep, no doubt about that. All right, when we come back, our producer Charlie Bevins, he's just getting into the swing of things with golf, all right? But he had a little bit of a mishap at the driving range. We're going to see if he is in the right or if he is in the wrong when we come back. This segment is brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
third round of the PGA Championship is underway at a rainy Rochester right now at Oak Hill Country Club. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking golf with you every single Saturday during the golf season right here on ESPN 1000, 8 to 10 a.m. Coming up at 9:30, we'll talk with James Colgan from golf.com. He's out at Oak Hill right now. He'll give us the latest on everything taking place at the PGAs. All right, Charlie Bevins, our intrepid producer here, Char Dog, as he's affectionately known as here on the station. He is starting to get into golf, Mike, and he's been going out to the driving range and had a little bit of a mishap this past week. Charlie, what exactly happened to you out at the driving range?
So, yeah, basically, I got clubs for my birthday, and I was very excited to take them out. I take them to the range, and I do like a full large bucket downstairs. I go putting for a little bit, and then I'm just thinking to myself, you know what? Like I got a long afternoon. I'm gonna do another bucket, and then I head upstairs. And then when I'm upstairs, I reach into my bag. I have it set in the, you know, the little rack that it's supposed to be in, and I'm digging my club out, and then driver to the forehead on somebody's backswing, and
Here's the miraculous part.
No broken sunglasses, and yeah, go ahead, Ty.
Well, I was going to say, like, no broken sunglasses like you were alluding to there, and also no sign of any damage. No bruises, no cuts, nothing. I don't know how you made it out of this unscathed.
I mean, listeners of Bleck and Abdallah know, and if you don't know, you can listen on the ESPN Chicago app. I apologize to the guy immediately. Because that's just in my nature, my Midwestern nature, where as soon as I inconvenience somebody or I am inconvenienced, I automatically assume it's my fault. But it was so perfect because it was like, I'm so excited to just like get into golf and like this is going to be like a new thing I work on. And then day one, golf club to the forehead.
Now, was it a follow through or just the backswing?
It was the backswing.
So were you in his hitting space?
I don't know. I wasn't. So I was. It was basically like perfectly between the two bays. Maybe he was a little too far to the left of his bay, but I just leaned in, and then maybe it's a thing of like maybe they're too close together or something like that. But my lesson from that is that now I put the golf clubs like 5 feet behind me instead of
exactly.
in the little rack between the setups.
Yeah, for your own safe well-being, you're lucky you didn't lose some chiclets on that.
I know. Well, I told Tyler, the first thing I told Tyler was like, I'm glad it wasn't an iron.
Yeah,
like honestly, usually you think of the driver as the power club that can do the most damage, but you're right. Like if that was an iron, you probably split your forehead right there.
Oh, 100%. And then and it's funny because I'm just in general just bad at talking. But I was explaining this to Bleck, and he's like, "You sound concussed." I'm like, "No, I always sound concussed. Like it's okay. This is just what I sound like."
If that would have been a sand wedge, you'd probably be dead.
Oh, it's game over.
Yeah. That thing's got some mass and some weight to it, and it also has an ability to do a little bit of cutting with it too. With that leading edge. But yeah, you always have to have your head on a swivel, especially when you're down in the city practice ranges, because you know it's just like suburban living versus city living. They tend to make those little bays a little bit tighter, and you have to always have your head on a swivel, because you know when people are swinging, they always have a blind spot. And unfortunately, Charlie, it looks like you went into his. And luckily, he didn't go too deep into his space. Otherwise, I'm not sure we would have Charlie in the booth this morning.
Yeah, I would say it's a lesson well learned.
No doubt.
There you go. Now you're a proven veteran.
Sometimes you just got to take a driver to the forehead to earn your golfing stripes. Well done, Charlie. You see the other side, and you're here producing the golf show. Just a couple days later after getting whacked by a driver.
I was hitting it flush every swing after that, too.
And taking no divots.
There you go. All right. When we come back, we have some action taking place out at Ziegfeld Troy. Mike will tell you everything that's going on at the CDGA Golf Marathon and get back to the PGA Championship as well. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf, without the drive. The CDGA Golf Show will be back in 2 minutes.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.